Have you guys been enjoying the identity series that we've been going through? Do you guys remember anything from it? Anna kicked it off. Nobody knows. It's the best series I've ever heard. I can't remember a thing from it. It's that life-changing. Anna kicked us off, and she was speaking about you are an overcomer, and you do not have to live a life dictated by your past. Is that right, Anna? That's right. Matt spoke to us last week. You are a child of God, right? Anything stick out for me from that one? Adoption. We've been adopted, yeah. Anything else? What's that? We have an inheritance, yeah. Anything else? Cool. Well, this week I got to speak about you are a new creation. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Because as I told you, I didn't get any sleep last night. And a lot of it had to do not with this teaching, but very real, raw ways in which this teaching was being shown to me at very late hours in the evening. And I love it when God does that to me. I would rather he choose the 3 p.m. hour and not the 3 a.m. hour to start revealing these things and talking about these things and really messing with my spirit. But he loves to speak to me when I should be sleeping. And so it's going to be, I'm excited to hear what he's got to say. You guys ready? Seatbelts on? Okay. In his book, The Art of Being You, written by Bob Kilpatrick, he has this statement. He said, "Do you think God sees you as his problem or his canvas? Is he your solver or your savior? Is he trying to fix you up or is he trying to make you new?" He goes on to say later in the chapter, our perception of God, what we believe about God, what we think he is doing in our lives, and especially why we think he is doing it, will set the course of our lives. Too often, instead of enjoying the beauty our Maker is creating in and through us, we view God through the lens of our personal weakness. Our theology is shaped by what we lack rather than by who God is. For example, if we see ourselves as a problem needing a solution, we want God to be a mathematician. If we see ourselves as broken and needing repair, we want God to be a mechanic. If we see ourselves as lonely, we want God to be a friend. If we see ourselves as ignorant, we want God to be a teacher. It's as if we're lining up to visit the Wizard of Oz, each with our own deep deficiency, and the wizard becomes to each of us what we need. Pretty powerful statements, huh? So I ask you the question this morning, do you see God? Do you think God sees you as his problem to be solved? Or do you think God sees you as his canvas? And how we answer that today, how we move forward from that today, dictates how we live out our lives here, dictates how we understand bringing the kingdom here in Laramie. It dictates a lot of things. God, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he had a mission. What was Jesus' mission, guys? Seeking to save that which was lost. How did he do that, though? You guys know the Jesus story? How did Jesus come to do that? Speak. This is you teach me now. I've been awake all night, so I need your help. He went what? Went out and found people? What specifically did he do to make us a new creation? He redeemed us. How did he redeem us? Now we're getting somewhere. He died for our sins. He rose from the grave, conquered death, right? So Jesus, what he does 2,000 years ago, he goes and he has this mission of teaching us, of teaching his disciples how to teach others. And it all comes down to this very foundational moment where Jesus is poured out on our behalf. Jesus devotes his entire life, even until death, to us so that we might know who he is when he conquers death. And he dies for our sins. You're right. So we have this very foundational moment, and so we, a lot of us, grab onto that and we say, that's great, we're forgiven. And we seem to just kind of just plateau there. And instead of living as this new creation, we choose to see God and view God as a mechanic. We want him to fix what was previously broken with us. We don't want to be any better than who we were. We just want to be restored to who we were. And there's foundational problems with that. Because Christ didn't come to just repair us and send us out as we are, as an old car limping by, you know, with new wheels. He didn't come to do that. He came to create us anew. And I had a hard time understanding that. I still have a hard time understanding that. My wife and I, last night, we were just having some really good talks in bed. And yes, we were talking. That's not a euphemism. Okay? We actually were just talking in bed. And we had to relive some of our new creation stories with one another. And what it came down to is for both of us, we had a choice. We had a choice to say, I want to be like I was. And I don't want to go any further than that. And I want to make decisions in my life how I used to make decisions in my life. Because it's easier that way. And we both came to this moment where anybody have children in the room besides me? Good for you guys. I'm proud of you. My children, my boys, they love to draw. They love to make art. But there are some times when my boys come to a point in their art that they can't draw something that they want to see. Or they draw it in a very imperfect way in their eyes. And so they get a little upset. And then they come to either mom and I, and they'll say, can you draw me? Generally, it's the bat signal. Batman fans? Or the Flash signal? Any Marvel or DC, anything, they need us to help them draw. Because it's just not up to snuff. And so they then hand us the pencil and the pad. They then hand us the items to create. Because they have reached the end of their ability. And so that is what I see us doing as this new creation, as we struggle to find who we are, and we sit and we say, God, you know what? I'm broken. I just need you to fix me. I don't want to be any better than that. I just need you to fix me. Bring me to the point where I was, and then we'll be okay. We take this brush, and again, the question is, do you see yourself as God's problem to be fixed, or do you see yourself as God's canvas to be created in a new creation? And so we take this brush and we start stroking on this canvas. And we step back, and much like my boys, we realize, you know what? Our ability in this realm, in this piece of art, is not there. And so we then cry out to God in whatever situation it may be, whether it be, I'm lonely, I need help, I need wisdom, and none of these things are bad, but we cry out for these very specific things instead of saying, okay, God, you know what? I'm done with these brushes. I'm done with painting and trying to paint myself, and I'm going to let you be the creator. I'm going to let you create who I am supposed to be. And in both of my wife and I's stories, as we sat and we talked, as we talked in bed last night, I don't know why that makes me laugh. And in both of my wife and I's stories, we came to this moment. We came to this realization as we stepped back from this chaotic piece of art that we had made ourselves, and we said, God, God, I can't do it anymore. And I think that is the tension within this whole Christianity thing, is we think it's this good mixture of us and him. We think it's this beautiful relationship where we have a lot of say. And I don't know if that's true. Because Christ died for us and he rose from the grave, and we have that same call on our lives. And when we die, as we say, Jesus, I believe in who you are, God, and I want to follow you, as we search and seek him with our whole heart, and as we die, I think that means we're dead, right? Is this a duh statement moment? So as we die, we're dead, and I often liken it to a sacrifice. You know, we hear that we're living sacrifices, and so often I, as this sacrificed animal, as this sacrificed person who has given my life to Jesus, so often I see myself trying to crawl off the altar and limp away and try to get away and not have to engage God. And sadly, I get that choice. I get that right. And we have this choice. And so as we are crawling off this altar, as I crawl off this altar, this thing that I said I was going to do, this Jesus that I said I love, this heart that I said is transformed, I see myself making some really poor decisions. But I come to this point in my life 6, 7, 8 years ago, and that's not all right. That's not okay. I am not my creator. God is my creator. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way. Paul's a pretty cool dude, isn't he? Paul of the Bible is a pretty cool dude. Maybe you guys were thinking of another Paul. Paul of the Bible is a pretty cool dude, and he says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Therefore, us, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Sounds pretty easy, right? You guys are real responsive. Sounds pretty easy. It's probably the hardest, toughest thing that I've ever had to do. We talked in teaching team, and so often we think that there's this crazy moment when we say, okay, Jesus, we want to follow you. We believe in you. We think this moment just turns a switch. We think this moment just appears, and all of a sudden, hey, you know what? We're acting different. We're doing things different. Everything's right. We understand Scripture correctly. And oftentimes, that's not the case. Now, there are some people sitting in this room today that is the case. There are some people that have been blessed with that. I'm not one of those. I've been blessed with this awesome nature that wrestles with God all the time on a lot of things, just because I can. And so we get this moment, and we don't get this moment, and then life is just pretty hard. I've heard a lot of people in my time in ministry say, you know, I gave my life to Christ and nothing changed. And so I just quit. I don't know how you quit Jesus. That doesn't sound possible in my world. But that's what they say. They quit. They said, you know, I've done all the things, I've said all the words, and nothing changed. And I've been there because, there again, you guys have known my story. I talk about my story quite often. And I continue to be there because things will not change as long as you're holding the brush. Things will not change as long as you're the one doing the creating. Things will not change as long as you see God as this mathematician instead of an artist. Things will not change if you choose not to change. And so there's a lot of things as a pastor I wish I could fix for you. There's a lot of things that I wish I could say that would bring you to this moment of change. There's a lot of things I wish I could do. I wish I could force you into it. That'd be fun, huh? I'm a pretty big dude, but I think you guys could take me, all of you. There's roads that I wish you guys didn't have to walk because I've already walked them, but I have to sit back and I get to watch what God does in you through that as you give up the brush. There's moments where I'm tempted to take the brush from God and start painting you how I see you. But none of that matters because I'm not the artist. I'm not the creator. God is. And it only comes through death. It only comes through submitting to God. It only comes to seeking him with your whole heart. All these statements sound trite. All these statements just sound weak to me as I say them to you, but I come at you as at a place where I've experienced all of these things, and it's not weak by any means. As I had to relive last night, as we spoke, as my wife and I talked, and I saw how awesome I was 7 or 8 years ago. And as I watched my wife experience the same thing and the same emotions as she had to relive how awesome she was 7, 8 years ago. Man, that's some tough stuff. I was a mess. But by the grace of God, today I'm able to stand up in front of you guys. And I'm able to say it does get better. You guys are supposed to live and have a choice to live as a new creation. For those of you that already know who Jesus is and have said yes to Jesus' call on your life, you guys have a choice, much like I did, to tap out and surrender. You guys have a choice. I fought him for a lot of years. From the time I was 11 years old till about 26, I fought him because I could. He allowed me to. And then the unraveling starts to happen when I hand off the brush. So how do you see God in your life this morning? Do you see him? Do you think God sees you as his problem to be solved, or do you think he sees you as his beautiful creation? Because make no mistake, he is creating us. He's creating me. He's creating you. As I laid in bed and I prayed for every single one of you until I got up this morning, I saw God's hand and handiwork and his brush strokes in each and every one of your guys' lives. And you're saying probably some of you, what? Doesn't look like that to me. But I see it. I see it happening here. I see it rising up within us. I see it happening within our body here at Whitewater, and I see it infecting Laramie, Wyoming. I see it infecting other parts of the world where our people have moved to. And this new creation is not this instantaneous thing. It's not a snap. It's this process. So will you choose to give God the brush this morning? For some of you that have lived Christianity in a very raw, not raw, in a very unreal way, like I used to live, will you choose to give God the brush this morning? For some of you that are just flirting around with who Jesus is, Romans 10, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Some of you need to hand off that brush and begin being a new creation. Some of you see God as this mathematician, and I see him like that a lot in my life too. I often go to God with my own problems, and I give him a list of things, and I say, God, okay, fix this for me. Give me a list of things that I can work on so I can feel good about myself, so I can do this. And the more Alicia we talked at teaching team, and Alicia said, the more I find myself progressing in my faith, the more I find out I don't really know what I thought I knew. And we were talking about when we start off in this faith progress and this faith thing that a lot of times we want to have everything square. We want to have everything make sense of who Jesus is. And that is not always the case. Let me rephrase that. That is never the case. If you have figured out Jesus, please write a book. This pastoral staff here will buy it. And we will read it. Well, we'll buy a copy and share it because we're kind of poor. But we will read it. But that's not the case. None of us have Jesus figured out 100%. And so some of you at this point in your lives, you're thinking, you know, if I just have this, this, and this in order, then I'm able to buy Jesus. Then I'm able to figure that out. But you know what? It's not that complicated, guys. It starts by just handing off the brush and saying, you know what? I believe in who you are. And I'm going to chase after you with my whole heart. And all those things are going to come to you as he creates you, as he paints you into what he desires you to be and instead of what you desire you to be. And then he's going to have a showing. He's going to have an art gallery someday where he's going to reveal all of us. And it's going to be the craziest gallery I've ever seen. I get a glimpse of it here as I watch these brush strokes being painted in your lives, as I watch this new creation happening in your lives. I get this small, tiny glimpse, and then I think we're just a stop on the map for you. I'm happy to be there. Because what God's doing in you and what he's going to do in you in the next few years is just going to be ridiculous if you're willing to hand off the brush. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for how you use us. God, I thank you for the messiness in my own life. How you speak through weakness, how you speak through misfortune and misunderstanding. God, how you're able to use every single one of our stories for good. God, I thank you for bringing me out of this crazy, chaotic life that I've painted for myself, and how you make me new, how you make me this new creation. God, and that's not just for me, that's for everybody in this room. And so the stories that come out of these folks, the stories that come out of your artwork, your handiwork, God, is powerful. And so for those that have lived life like I have with Christianity and just kind of skirting by on cheap grace for many, many years and just fighting you every step of the way, God, I pray that the choice that they make this morning is to just submit. God, I pray the same for those who are just searching for you and desiring to see who you are and wanting to know more about you before they make the plunge. And God, more about you, you are love, you are grace, you are mercy, you are peace, you are kindness, you are understanding, you are knowledge, you are wisdom, you are all these things. And so God, I pray for submission for them as well. God, this morning that we all just give our brush to you, that we all make that choice that we all have to make. God, may you be the creator of us, your new creation, starting now and always. We love you. It's your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Grace and peace, guys.